blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, with sorrow we announce the passing away of Reverend Sponce this morning. Let us sing, therefore, from Psalter 107. 107 stanzas 1 through 4. My end, Lord, make me know. My days, how soon they fail. And to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. 1 through 4 of 107.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to Philemon. The Epistle of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Aphaia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, and thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon the mourning family of Reverend Sponce, and also the mother of Rhea Hairwire and William Van Herk, who apparently is very low in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing God, Thou who always does that which is right and that which is good, then we may come up in this afternoon in a worship service once more. Wilt thou look upon the widow of thy servant when in such a quick moment as she has been cast into mourning with her children and grandchildren and all their loved ones? Wilt thou strengthen them together in the days that lie ahead, and that thou may look upon us in mercy as congregations. Remember their congregation who has now lost their shepherd and teacher of 25 years. Many years he may serve here below, and now he may serve thee forever. Now he may do it in perfection. Now he may do it without sin and shortcoming. Now he may be before thy throne forever. That thou may give also a holy jealousy in the heart of thy own children, that they may also receive by moments that desire and that longs to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That all the things of this time may become the burden, and that also the sin and the shortcomings within may become the burden, and that there may be a desire by times to be delivered from it all, and to receive that which was spoken unto that blessed man. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Lord, that thou may remember us that are still left behind, as a denomination whom thou hast blessed in great abundance, when thou hast given us a heritage. Lord, that we indeed also may acknowledge thee for this with our children, and that we may see the preciousness of that truth, and that thou hast left in the midst of us, and that we would have no desire in our life to depart from it, but that thou may give us also to defend thy truth with life and heart together, as thy servant and as members of our congregations, and that thou may instruct our youth and parents and each and every one of us in it. And then we shall see its truth, and we shall see and feel its preciousness. And then we shall desire it for everyone here below. Oh, that thou may so instruct us, that thou may also give a replacement in thy ministry. Lord, look on us in thy mercy, and raise up those who have no strength in themselves. Raise up those for whom it will be in self an impossibility. Raise up those who have been taught in the true spirit of meekness. Do raise up those who have in themselves no power, but who have the unction of thy Holy Spirit. Those who are truly converted by thee, who have been given a spirit of discernment, who are thrust forth by thee into that holy office, that they may take the place of those that are gone before, and that thou would not take away the candlestick of thy word from us and from our dear children. O Lord, instruct thy servants more and more, that we may be given to know thy truth by heartfelt experience, that we may know how to lead in the midst of the congregations and in the midst of the homes, publicly and privately, and that thou may give us that wisdom that we have not of ourselves. Give us the strength also and the courage to go forward. And wherever that thy truly sent servants are over the length and the breadth of this whole world, that thou may look on those who are persecuted for the sake of thy name, and that thou may humble us under thy great deeds, when thou hast spared even to this moment. Do spare further for the sake of thy kingdom, and increase the number of that church. It shall be a remnant. It is a remnant that is known by thee, but it is also a people that shall be part of 144,000, an innumerable multitude that shall magnify thee forever and forever. Lord, that thou may so build thy church also in the midst of us as a congregation, that thou may look upon us in this day of thanksgiving, and that we may be given to meditate upon all the wonders of thy hands, that in the things of this life, in the needs of families, in the needs of the school, in the needs of the congregation, but also in personal needs, and also may it be in spiritual needs, that thou may humble the soul of thy church, thy own people, and for that great gift that thou hast given and bestowed upon them, and that they may be given to feel their great unworthiness, and that it may be made manifest in the midst of us, that great humility, that they also may be a shining light unto others. Look thou upon our parents. Wilt thou give further strength to do the labors of their hands in instructing our children and bringing them up in the fear of thy holy name, our school and all that labor therein. Wilt thou look on our mission field? For thy servant was also, for so many years, caring for our mission. Wilt thou raise up those that also may take his place? And that thou may look upon those that do labor far from their loved ones. Send a servant also among them. And could it please thee to bless thy word in their midst? Do go before us as a congregation. Wilt thou remember us as a consistory in our meeting tomorrow evening? Wilt thou grant to us wisdom also in all decisions that must be made in behalf of the congregation? And when also it is incumbent upon us in the near future to lay duos before our members, that the offices may be filled. Lord, give us also wisdom in these matters. And could it please thee to work with might and power in the midst of your own church, that men may be raised up with that true and tender fear of thy name, that may serve in these offices. And wilt thou strengthen us in all that thou hast laid upon our shoulders, that we may do it with joy, and that it may not be a burden unto us. And that we may do it also to the profit of this our flock, that it may also be so in this afternoon hour. Lord, strengthen us one more time. Give us wisdom, give us thy spirit, and make it an easy and a loving task to be before our flock once again, that thou would be amongst us feelingly and believingly. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 287, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound, and the earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. And to God ascribe glory and wisdom and might. Let God in his creatures forever delight. There is only one collection today for the building fund. Psalter 287, all stanzas. congregation, our text for this afternoon hour you can find in the portion that was read to you, Philemon 1, and thereof the last part of verse 19. Philemon 1, verse 19b, albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. So far, the words of our text. Philemon's debt. First, the cause of this debt. And second, the amount of this debt. Philemon's debt. First, the cause. Second, the amount of this debt. Thus we say, congregation, Philemon's debt. But who is Philemon? And under what circumstances do we find that Philemon owes a debt? And under what circumstances do we find this epistle to be written to this Philemon? Philemon seems to have been a very notable inhabitant of the church of Colossae. That was in the city of Phrygia. He has a wife, and we read her name Apphia, and we read also the name of the minister at Colossae, that is Archippus, and Paul is far away. Where is Paul? He is in bondage. He is in Rome. And he has written an epistle. He has written a letter, children, to the Colossians, to the church at Colossae. And at the same time, as he has written this letter to the Colossians, he also writes another little letter, just this one chapter, short letter, to this Philemon, who is a member of this church in Colossae. Why does he write him a letter? Well, he writes him a letter because of the circumstances of Onesimus. Say, who is Onesimus? Onesimus is his servant. Philemon's servant. But Onesimus is with Paul. He is with Paul in Rome. Say, how did Onesimus get to Rome? Onesimus has run away. Thus, Onesimus is a runaway slave. And he is now with Paul at Rome. How is that? We do not know what the character of his master was, whether that was a hard character, whether that was an easy character. But one thing we know, that this Onesimus was a wicked servant because he has run away from his master and he has also embezzled or he has stolen something, probably some money, when he has run away from Philemon. The world is a large place. Maybe that this Onesimus also wanted to get away from the religion of his master, because we read that he has a church in his house. Thus, Philemon is a man that fears the Lord. And we know what Rome was. Rome was a very large, it was a very prosperous city. Thus, there will be plenty of opportunity for Onesimus if he wants to get away from his master and if he wants to just be able to hide among all the inhabitants that are in Rome, and that he can fill himself with all the pleasures of this world, then certainly he will be able to find them all to his heart's desire in this great and also this ungodly city. Is that also your desire, young people, sometimes? that you say, I would like to get out from under that which I have to hear time and again from my father, from my mother, to go up to God's house. I have no desire for it all, and I would like just to go out into the world. And I would like to be able to live to my heart's content. Can be because we all have an evil heart. And we all have a heart that desires that which is of this world and all that is carnal. But now if the Lord has his eye upon us, then we shall never be able to fulfill our heart's desire. Read that also with this man. Because in the providence of the Lord, then we find this Onesimus, he is in the company of the Apostle Paul. However he has come there, we don't know. But the Lord himself has directed that this man, when he has run away from his master, that he has come under another master, as it were. And that he has come under that same truth. And now, under that truth that Paul may bring, even when he is shut up in this house with very little liberty, then we can read how that the preaching of the Apostle Paul brings forth fruit. Thus, this man who has a desire to be rid of it, this man who has a desire to run away from it, he is caught in the net of the gospel. The Lord, who has laid his eyes upon Onesimus, does not allow Onesimus to go in his own way to his own self-destruction. Parents, do you have children that have gone their own way? Oh, here we see reason to pray. Then it is not our words. It is not our doing. No, but it is the Lord's work to stop our children. Is that impossible from our side? The Lord is almighty. And now when the Lord will give true conversion, what will be the effect? What will be the fruit of that true conversion? How will that conversion now be evident in our life? What do you think you are going to see, children, in this runaway slave? What do you think you are going to see when this man, he has been converted by the Lord, when he has been given a new heart by the Lord? You ask for that, a new heart? And if the Lord will give you a new heart, what do you think then? What do you think then will happen in your life? What happens in the life of this Onesimus? Do you know what Onesimus wants to do? He wants to go back to his master, Philemon. That is now the fruit of that new life. Then Onesimus wants to make right what he has done wrong. Are there those in our midst that may experience also what takes place in the heart of this Onesimus? That you say, if I may now only make right everything that I have done wrong in my life, that I may go to this one and to that one and may acknowledge that I have been guilty in this, in that. Sometimes that is very difficult. Sometimes that is even impossible. Because those against whom we have sinned, we don't know where they are anymore. Or they are no more. Thus let us remember that sometimes these things are so difficult and sometimes these things are even so impossible. And now we find this also with this Onesimus. because for himself, then he can bring himself back unto his master. But there is a great difficulty, because he has also stolen from his master. And he has nothing to pay back to him. What he has stolen from his master, he has spent. Then he has been as that prodigal who has spent all his living. And now how can he possibly give that money in return? And that is now why the Apostle Paul is writing a letter for the sake of Onesimus unto Philemon, his master. And he will give that letter to Onesimus that he may return again to his master, and he may give that to him when he returns from the Apostle Paul. And what does now that letter say? First, Paul greets Philemon. And he greets, we read, his wife, Apphia. She has also been affected, because that which has belonged to Philemon, that has also belonged to Apphia. And thus, the apostle, he rightly greets the wife of Philemon. And then he also greets the minister, Archippus. It is as if the Apostle Paul will also enlist the aid of the minister when there has been this transgression, and when he is seeking to bring these back again to be reconciled, that perhaps the minister may be of some help, that he may speak unto Philemon, that he may receive this servant again in a gracious way. And the Apostle Paul begins to plead with Philemon. He waives his right of authority to command Philemon, and he condescends to beseech Philemon. What do we read? Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Then he gives reasons, and he says why that Philemon ought now to consider what he has to say. And the first reason he says is, because Philemon, I am old, being such an one as Paul the aged. What does that matter, young people? That he is old. Say the only thing that that means is maybe that he doesn't understand us. No, Paul says, I am old. And that is a reason, Philemon, that you ought to listen. That you ought to hear, that you ought to consider what I have to say. That's age. Age is something that ought to be respected by our youth. And not only our youth, but those of us who have become a little older, then we ought to respect that which experience has taught unto those who have lived out a long life in this world, who have seen much in this world, who have learned much in this world by way of experience in this world. Then there ought to be a certain respect that we have for their opinions, for their thoughts. Being such an one as Paul the aged. A second reason, he says, because I suffer for Christ's sake. And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A sufferer for Christ's sake has a conscience. A sufferer for Christ's sake is not a person that is so easily able to give up principles. And he appeals now to the sympathy of Philemon. That Philemon, in the place where he is and with the freedom that he has, that he would not increase the suffering of Paul as he is laying in bonds. Thus he says to Philemon, Philemon, consider this what I have to say now for my sake. He does not take a look at Onesimus. He does not excuse the wrong of Onesimus. He does not minimize the crime of Onesimus. No, he says, Philemon, only consider for my sake. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Thus, Paul declares that there has come a very great change in the life of this wicked servant. He says, this is now a person whom I have begotten. What does that mean? He has become my son. What a blessed relation that there is between those who are converted by the Lord and those who have been used as an instrument for their conversion. What a blessed love. What a blessed unity that there is between these two. The Apostle Paul, he calls him his son. He is his not natural son, but he is his spiritual son, whom he has begotten even in his bonds, when he is, as it were, tied up. When he is bound, when he has not liberty to go forth to be the minister of churches, no, but that the Lord has still blessed his labor in the place where he is, then the Lord has given unto him a spiritual son. And now he is so willing to help this son of his, then his heart that is going out after his son for his welfare, and his heart goes out to his welfare in a spiritual way, but then also he has a life here on this world. Thus he is looking also for the welfare of Onesimus in a civil manner. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. That is, congregation, the fruit of grace. Paul says before he was unprofitable, and now he has become profitable. Did you ever become profitable? Did you ever feel how unprofitable that you are? As you go over this world, as you go over the world without hope and without God in this world, how unprofitable that you are as you do all the labors of your hands for the sake of all that is natural. Says he was unprofitable. Now he has become profitable. Naturally, yes. Now Onesimus will be profitable. Before, he has stolen children. That was not profitable. That was not profitable for him. That was not profitable for his master. That was against the word of the Lord. That was wickedness. Now, Paul says, he will be profitable. Because grace that will make a great change in his life. Now the commandments of the Lord, and they will be bound upon his heart. And when he may follow in that way of the Lord, then we may see an increase for you also in a natural way, Philemon. Because now Onesimus, now he will walk in the ways of the Lord. Now you can trust him. Now he will be to you a faithful servant. Thus he has been unprofitable. And now he will be profitable.
But in a special way, then he says, he shall be profitable to thee in a spiritual way. Because you may now receive him not merely as a servant, but now you may receive him once again unto yourself as a brother, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord, whom I have sent again, whom I would have retained with me. I would like to keep him with me, that he might have ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel. Thus, we know, boys and girls, Paul was bound. He was in a house. He did not have chains on, but there was a guard in that house, and he had a certain liberty, and he may go to certain places, maybe. We don't know how much that was, but he was still under that guard. He had to come back to that place always. Maybe he had to stay within that house. And now this Onesimus was a very great help to him, because now Onesimus, he could do those things that he was not able to do when he had to stay in that place, and Onesimus could do for him errands. Then you understand that was very nice for Paul in his suffering, that he may have now this Onesimus with him. And Paul says, it is reasonable, really. It is reasonable that I keep him here. It is reasonable that actually that Onesimus would stay with me in my bonds. And then he gives reasons why. Why do you think he says that it's reasonable? Say, young people, because Philemon shouldn't have a slave. Slavery is wicked. Because slavery is wrong. Read that here in the Bible? You never read such a thing in God's Word. We do not read in God's Word that he condemns servanthood and that he condemns slavery. We read in God's Word that he regulates slavery and servanthood. That he tells masters how that they ought to deal with their slaves, that they must not be hard on their servants, that they must have pity on them, that they must treat them as people, as human beings. But we do not read that the Lord condemns slavery and servanthood itself. Thus Paul does not say, Philemon, you should let him go because you should not have slaves anyway. It is the opposite. Paul says, I send him back to you. But he desires that Philemon will receive his servant back again graciously. And therefore, he portrays his own sacrifice when he is sending him back. He says, I might just as well have kept him, he says, in your stead. Philemon, if I had now asked you, if you would come yourself personally to meet here to Rome, that you may serve me, then I am sure that you would yourself like to minister to me in my bonds. Well, then, it is only reasonable that you may stay in your place and that I may have your servant instead when I am here in my bonds. But he says, I will not do this without your mind. He says, I will not do this without asking you. I will not do this, as it were, when you have not offered it to me willingly. That you have to do it of necessity, that I will just keep your servant myself. And then he urges Philemon also to consider something of the providences of the Lord. He says, perhaps he departed for a season that you should receive him forever. What kind of servant was he to you before? He was not a profitable servant. He was a servant that you had to keep under. He was a servant that tried to get out from under you. Therefore, you always had to be watching him, never could trust him. And now perhaps he has departed just for a little while in order that the Lord would convert him. And that the Lord would bring him back again. And now you may receive him as a trusted servant forever. He will not run away from you again. He will not steal from you again. He will be honest. He will be faithful. Thus he urges Philemon to consider something of the providences of the Lord, that he may receive his servant again graciously, that he will not punish him when he comes back. If, he says, thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Thus, just Philemon, as if I were now to come from Rome, back to Colossae, to be your guest, how would you receive me? Well, will you receive now my son? My son in the bonds, will you receive him just like you would receive me? Do it for my sake. But that is all well. However, Onesimus still owes Philemon money. And this is now a difficulty. And Paul does not overlook this, what Onesimus owes to his master Philemon. Thus, Paul recognizes the right of property, not only of owning his servant, but also of owning his own goods. That we may not just remove them, take them from one another. And Paul recognizes that also the fear of the Lord does not deliver someone from his civil duties, from his civil obligations, the one unto the other, just as if because now this person fears the Lord, and then he may be just, we must overlook every civil obligation that he has unto us. No, what is he right? If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Thus, what does Paul do? He takes over the debt of Onesimus. Paul becomes surety for the servant of Philemon. But it does not end there. Then he writes these words, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. So what does Paul do? Now Paul speaks about a debt, not of Onesimus, but he speaks about a debt of Philemon. And he says, Philemon, you have a great debt. How much? That is our second thought. The amount of this debt. And Paul does not insist upon it. He says, albeit I do not say to thee. What does that mean? He says, I will not myself bring it into the equation, as it were. I am not going to say this to you in order for me, Paul in Rome, to cancel the debt of Onesimus, just as if then he does not owe this unto you. But he leads Philemon, as it were, to consider this matter of himself, because he says he will have Onesimus to do this in a willing manner. Albeit I do not say to thee, I won't even mention it to thee. He will not insist upon it, that is, because he is mentioning it to him, how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. I now take over that debt of Onesimus. I will repay it, Philemon. I will repay it. If thou requirest it yet from him, then I have it not at the moment, but in the future I will repay it. But only remember that you have a much greater debt than this. Only remember that your debt is your own self, even thine own self. Where does that debt come from? Where did that debt come from that Philemon owes to Paul? Well, Paul says, Philemon, I have been the instrument of your conversion. How many riches do you have? How many goods do you have? What is your prosperity in this world? What does that now compare? What does that now compare to the riches that you have gained in your new birth? What does that now compare to the riches that you have gained in that day of your regeneration? Because what does it now profit if a man should gain the whole world and he should lose his own soul? But Philemon, what do you now lack? What do you now lack if you have the Lord for your portion, because you have received eternal life? And now for this, Paul says, you have a debt. And what is your debt? Your debt is yourself. Even thine own self, your whole being, Philemon. Your whole existence you owe to me. Does Paul say then you owe that to me because I am the cause of your conversion? No, he does not attribute the cause unto himself. But he says, I am the instrument in the hand of the Lord that the Lord has used to grant unto you this eternal life. Then he says, actually, you do not owe it to me, Philemon, but you owe your life unto God. Because he says it is for the sake of the Lord that he is beseeching Philemon for Onesimus, his servant. Yea, brother, he says, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Then it is not actually me. No, but it is the Lord as the cause that you owe your entire life to. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. What is then, Philemon, the debt of Onesimus? What is that debt of Onesimus in comparison to that debt that you owe? That is much greater. Why? Because what you have been given, because of the gift that you have received. Thus, if you will only consider the gift, then what I now owe to you, for the sake of Onesimus, then you will see it is just petty. No, I don't insist upon it. If you wish to have it yet, and if you need it yet, then it is your right, and I will give it to you. But I have confidence, he says, in thy obedience, that thou wilt also do more than I say. We have confidence in you also for this. Let us sing. Psalter 41. 41, 2, 3, and 4. The precepts of the Lord are right. With joy they fill the heart. The Lord's commandments all are pure, and clearest light impart. 2, 3, and 4 of 41. Albeit I do not say to thee, how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. If Paul had a claim as an instrument of spiritual good upon the being of the church, how much more, congregation, does the Lord not have as not only the instrument, but the cause? The Lord has a claim. The Lord has a claim upon each
and every one of us, young or old. The claim is twofold. The Lord has a claim upon us in the first place because of our creation. A gift that He has given to us. What is the gift? It is our life. Our life. Have we thought, have we meditated upon this gift, young people? Parents, children, yet in this day, when our thoughts go over the blessings of the Lord, have we meditated upon this gift that is the gift of our very existence, that is the gift of our very being, of our life in this world? And who that the giver of this gift is? Thus the Lord has a claim upon the existence, the life of every single one of His creatures. Thus it is not the Apostle Paul, but it is the Lord Himself who is saying, "Thou owest unto me even thine own self." That is a debt. That is a great debt. Because the Lord says, "I did not create you to live your own life. I did not create you to do as you please. I did not create you to serve whom you will. But I have created you to serve me. I have created you to love me. I have created you to walk according to all of my statutes, to be obedient to me, to give me honor, to give me glory. That is why you exist. Therefore, your whole being, your whole life, you owe to me. That is now your debt." Today is Thanksgiving Day. How can we do this? Acknowledge the Lord without an acknowledgement of our debt. It is not a debt merely of money. It is not a debt merely of goods. Oh, we hope you do that willingly. We hope you do that on your own account. That is not for us to insist upon. But you have another debt. We have a debt of our life. It is a debt of our heart, our entire life, our mind, our thoughts, our gifts, our talents, our goods, our resources, everything. Simply by virtue of our creation. And every single gift of common grace, the food, the drink, the ray of sunshine and the rain, whatever that may be, every single gift of common grace that we may receive out of the hand of the Lord, that ought to be reminding us of our debt. And with every affliction, we ought to be reminded how that our debt is unfulfilled. What do we do with our life? What do we do with our life? What is it for? Why do we exist? Do we exist just that we may enjoy the entertainments of this world? Do we exist just that we may have a family, that we may enjoy a family?
Do we exist just that we may have a business, that we may increase, that we may prosper? Is that why we exist? Why do you exist? And what do you do with your existence? Sin? Sin? With an existence, with a health, with a strength that you received as a gift, with a life that you have received as a gift from God, sin? Sin against His commandments, against all of His statutes and His precepts, knowingly? With a gift? Is it ever a wonder to us that the Lord will give another gift? Food again today, when yesterday we have sinned it all away? And do we intend so to go on? Just to test how long suffering that the Lord is? How long will He give us gifts? As I walk over this world for my own account and according to my own desires. How long suffering, just how long suffering is the Lord? Is that what we are doing? Congregation, may the goodness of the Lord lead us to repentance. Oh, that we may be given to see our Maker, our Creator, and the purpose of our creation, and how we have turned everything so upside down. There He sits on His throne, looking at His footstool, at you, and at me, pouring everything out day by day, over and over and over. May it break this day, may it break our hard and stony heart, that we have to say, created, 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 to serve the living God. And now my back is turned to Him, and I go my own way until this very Thanksgiving day, spared so undeservedly. Oh, may the arrow of the Word of God come into your soul. Albeit I do not say unto thee, how thou owest unto me, even thine own self beside. May it give to us, congregation, a new resolution. May it be for us the beginning of a new life, that we say, if only I may turn that entire life around, and that I may serve this true and this living God, that I may be brought back again to that purpose that God has set me on this world, that it may be the beginning of self-knowledge as I attempt to return unto God, that I might learn how deeply that I have fallen, how far away that I have departed from Him, how weak that I have become in the flesh, how corrupt that my heart and all my motives are. Oh, that self-knowledge, that I may be led to see preciousness in His only begotten Son, that He may become so necessary for me, because it is only in Him that I am able once again to be reconciled to the triune God. And it is alone through that self-knowledge that the Lord will give in attempting to return unto our Maker that the Lord will make His dear Son precious in our eyes, that we might see that we need a mediator, one to stand between God and our soul. Otherwise, it is impossible. Otherwise, we live out our life, our entire life, with our back unto God. And we go step by step unto hell. A righteous destruction after all the benefits bestowed upon His creatures. His creatures which have departed from Him. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest to me even thine own self besides. People of the Lord has upon you a double claim. That is not only the claim of creation, but the Lord has now a double claim upon you, because He has upon you also the claim of redemption. And He has done so, so very much in order that He may reclaim you, that He may bring you back again. When you have left His service, when you have departed and set your back to Him, then He has overcome you. He has conquered your heart. It is for this reason that He has sent His Son into the world. It is this reason that He sends His Holy Spirit, that He may conquer your heart, that He may take you again and bring you back into that service in which you have been created. What a debt you owe. What a debt you owe. Even thine own self. Your entire being. Your body, your soul. The natural gifts you have received, they are so many. The season that has gone by, that is true. But you have received other gifts. You have received gifts that go far beyond these natural gifts. Because you have become an heir of eternal life. Mr. Van Essen, he may enter there. And now, Reverend Sponce, he may enter there. And now there is a people. They are waiting in line. They are waiting in line. Step by step, one after the other, that they may receive a crown that fadeth not away. What is now your life then? What is your life? Do you give Him now what you owe to Him? Do you give Him even your own self besides? Your bread, your water is sure. David said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What thought then do you have for all of the things that you must eat and drink? Are you not much better than many sparrows? Or are your thoughts taken up with the goodness? With the goodness of the Lord, is your heart affected with that gift that He has bestowed upon you, not only natural life, but that gift of eternal life that He has given unto you? What is your life then? Do you live as a stranger? Do you live as a pilgrim here below? Do you use this world as not abusing it? Do those invaluable gifts that you have been given, do they quell all the complaints that you have because of the sufferings and the afflictions that you must bear in this life? Are you able to forgive your fellow man when he approaches to you in the way of repentance? Albeit, I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self beside. Is your life to the honor of that God who has bestowed these blessings upon you? Can friend and foe in this world alike see that God Himself has touched your soul by His own hand? That it has been touched with that finger of God, that there is the spirit of meekness, that there is the spirit of humility? Is the world drawn after you because it sees a heavenly mindedness in you? Is your life now a testimony of the value and of the preciousness of that blessed mediator who has brought you back again, even the chiefest of the sinners? Albeit, I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. For what? For all the benefits that have been bestowed upon you. One day, all the shortcomings in that service are going to be taken away. Then you are going to receive freedom. Freedom to give it all back. Freedom to do what you have been given a desire to do in that new birth, in that day of regeneration, and what was the burden of your heart ever since because of all of your shortcomings. In that day, the Lord will receive His honor, His glory, for the redemption of His church from the service of sin. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we owe it all to Thee. Give us to feel it, but that it may not be but in a temporary impression on a Thanksgiving day, but Lord, give it to sink into our souls, that our guilt may come home to us this day. Then we will have given our gifts, but we will have received the greatest gift of our life, the gift of eternal life. Wilt thou give us to seek it while it is still called today? Bring us safely to our homes. Help us in the week that is to come, each one in our place in this world, that our thoughts and meditations may be of Thee. Be with us in our meeting. Be with the mourning family and all that will travel to that place in this week. Forgive all that was sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 271, 1, 2, and 3, of mercy and of justice, my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises my song shall rise to Thee. Within my house I purpose to walk in wisdom's way. O Lord, I need Thy presence. How long wilt Thou delay? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 271.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.